minutes. They had to go out through the roof. You know, lots of times there weren't boats to come pick them up. But eventually he got out with, I don't know, one or two babies. His grandmother was there. They got her aboard of a boat, a mother. And everything flooded, except we got word that I think there were someone wanted us to go, word to go out to this place and see if there was anything alive. And supposedly, like, there were macaws there, cockatoos. They had everything because he was a breeder. And Nell and Larry, Nell was dead set on getting in to get all these, you know, to see what was there. She was went around, almost even got a helicopter to take her out to rescue these birds. But for some reason, I think they were able to, that following day, they were able to get into it. They went there, all those birds had drowned except, I want to say, three macaws. And they had to beat into, it was Nell, Larry, Neil, and Gail Hall off Aussie Bird Toys went down. And they beat the side off that building in, got in, and found the three macaws.
And
the three macaws only survived because the nest boxes floated. And the doors came open. And they were able to get out.
Maddie Sue Anthem was there, too.
Oh, Maddie Sue. The birds were able to get out. And not drowned, probably on rafters. Neil was at that evacuation. I wasn't. But that was, you know, three birds out of 80.
So they were, like, floating on the nest boxes?
Well, the nest boxes had floated.
They floated up. And whenever the nest boxes floated up, it had exposed an opening for the birds, those birds, to be able to get out and then get on top of the roof to avoid the flooding water, while all the rest of the birds, the cages didn't move. You know, they just got trapped under the water. Whenever the cages went past their nest, went past their cage, that was it. They were underwater and gone.
Right, and no way to get air.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, remember seeing the birds, you'd saw them literally, their hands would be grabbed onto the thing and they're trying to pull their head as far as they can above this, out of their cage where they're trapped in, and, you know, they're drowning.
Neil's getting a little emotional here.
I hear you. It's okay. I lost someone, myself, a long time ago, a person, to a drowning accident. It's got to be a horrible thing to not be able to breathe. I couldn't imagine it, and it's getting to me thinking about all those animals, and I'm sure people. This is a bird show, but surely there were a lot of people that didn't get above water either. Would you like to take a? Are we at a point where you'd like to take a break, or do you want to continue?
That's fine. Whatever you want to do, let's take a few minute break.
Let's take about 5 minutes, and we'll gather our thoughts and come back again on Bird Talk Live Online.
Are people able to call in and ask questions?
They can. I haven't tried having them call in while I have another person connected. We could invite them and see if that's possible. I'm not sure if we can have like a conference call over Skype, but I think now after the show I have invited people to call in and comment, and certainly and I can bring them on air where they could easily reach you on your PM, but we could try and see if we can multi-connect. I'm not sure if we can conference call on Skype like that, though.
Or if they have questions, they can send their questions in and we can answer the question.
Right. If you'll post your Facebook page or your website online there, and I'll do the same, we'll accommodate you know, some people with questions. And Donna and Neil, I'd love to have you on again. There's always time for all of this experience, and people that couldn't tune in today could tune in a week from now or so and hear about this some more. I think this is an important event that we forgot about. Now that pretty much New Orleans have recovered from the flood and all the media have passed it by, this is something that is important and important to bird keepers that live in areas that are prone to floods, and this kind of thing that could use some information that brings awareness to help them prepare for something like this. I have tried to produce some videos lately about how to get your bird out of the cage, your house is on fire, and that kind of thing that I haven't published. So surely this conversation, these dialogues and interviews would help people listening. There's over 15 million bird owners in the United States alone. It's an international broadcast. There are millions of other people that could tune in and listen. So let's take about a 5 or 10 minute break, and we'll come back. And I'm wanting to hear a little bit more about Julie Birch's part in this, and of course more about all of your participation in this and how you save these animals. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
We're going to break.
Okay. Let's take a break. If you're listening, we're going to come back in about 10 minutes with Donna Powell and Neil and their amazing adventure rescuing over 300 parrots in the bayous and the swamps before and after Katrina. We'll be right back with Bird Talk Live Online.
Yvonne Patterson is a horticulturalist and rainforest photojournalist, and she's created a sparkling, innovative way for us to learn about the essential connection between the rainforests, our planet's natural resources, and the harmony we'll find in nurturing the Earth's family of life. Using the inherent beauty and intelligence of rare birds, Yvonne has developed a captivating live presentation that connects with the extraordinary animals that we share our world with. Wings of Love is dazzling educational entertainment for your corporate, school, and church event, birthday party, or scouting function. It's fascinating fun for all ages. Wings of Love. Birds of a feather, learning together.
Pets carries a full line of animals, tropical and saltwater fish, reptiles, exotic birds, and all the supplies to maintain them. Brothers Pets care about their customers and the pets they sell. The people at Brothers Pets work hard every day to bring you not only the best products, but also the best service. Brothers Pets staff has well over 100 years combined experience in animal husbandry and care. Brothers Pets welcomes special orders and do the best to meet all of your pet needs. Brothers Fish and Pets has become one of the largest independent pet stores in the Midwest thanks to their loyal customers. Some of the greatest bird stories in Pet Birds. Donna Powell is ready to come back on air here to continue our discussion of how she and Neil organized a rescue effort after Katrina, right before and after and during this awesome hurricane, and it resulted in rescuing over 300 parrots. Are you there, Donna?
I'm here.
Welcome back.
Okay. You wanted to know about the vets.
The vets, yes. You have told an amazing story, and a real story. This is a true story. This is in Hollywood, about yours and Neil's effort to get out in the bayou and save over 300 birds with over, 65 people. But what is really just blowing my mind, Donna, is that you brought all these birds back to your house, and you have veterinarians coming in and out. Could we kind of talk a little bit more about their involvement in this?
Okay. Well, I'm associated with Dr. Tully over at LSU. And he wanted birds that we found to come here to the house, not to be dispersed in any other location. So we had vets basically, I think, around the clock probably for the first 3 to 4 weeks. They were all volunteers. I know Long Island Parrot Society sent one, and that was Elizabeth Freisler. And, of course, Julie Birch came. Julie was here 3 times. Julie's a devil for punishments. We had two other vets come in from Texas.
We know about Julie Birch. Let me interrupt. We know how she is. She is what a character, and the strength that she has, and persistence, and the love she has for animals. I just had to interject there. She is so active on Facebook and contributing to the bird keeping group on Facebook, helping us to understand about bird health, and displaying her successful surgeries. And we just love her. So I had to jump in there and praise Julie Birch. You say she was there 3 times.
Julie was here 3 times. You know, like I said, she's the devil for punishment. And there were some incidents here. You know, not everything was all peaches and cream with the rescue. We had people that didn't want us to take the birds. I was accused of everything, from stealing the birds to breeding the birds to selling the birds. You name it. I was called everything except Christian and white.
No, Ken, you had haters.
Oh, haters. Yeah, we had haters. But at that time, I really didn't have time to deal with the haters. You know,
right,
because
the birds were drowning, and you were just worrying about getting them out of there, huh?
Yeah, we a couple of incidents with Julie. We went down to the Lamar Dixon Center. That was in Gonzales, and it was a staging point where they brought cats, dogs, horses, etc., in from New Orleans, and they also had some parrots there. So we were sent by a vet from LSU, and also two vets from that had volunteered their time with LSU, and I think one was from Alaska, to go down and pick up the birds and bring them back to my house.
Alaska, Sarah Palin. I had to jump in there.
Well,
people criticize Sarah Palin, but I love her.
some of these people were pigs with lipstick, believe you me. And Julie wanted to help down there. And VMAT Team 3, she was in with our group, so she was not allowed to do anything, basically, with these birds, even though she was a veterinarian. She took pictures of the birds in the stalls with their cages piled on top of one another. And I know there were some incidents there where they said there were no African greys there. Julie took pictures of African greys.
Piled in the stalls.
Yeah, and they were piled on top of each other. And we don't know whatever happened to those greys. There was a lot of bird theft going on down there. Some bird theft. Let me reiterate.
Bird theft. So people were just kind of taking advantage of the chaos and doing whatever they want.
Well, I think so. And these were also some of the people that were in held some authority there, took advantage of it. I know there was a vet from Florida, and I have no idea who it is, that came over, and there was a blue and gold macaw there. And she took the blue and gold macaw back to Florida and said the owners didn't deserve to own this bird because they left it at home. So there's
owners confiscated there. A bird. If a possibly for their own profit.
Well, I don't know what her intentions were, but there's right. certainly an owner of blue and gold, of a, one particular blue and gold macaw. Don't know that bird's in Florida. We had to.
Yeah, they couldn't deserve to own a bird in a hurricane when the levee broke and flooded their house, and everybody had to run. That's just not a possibility, huh?
No, well, see, I think, as I mentioned previously, what happened here was when the levee broke.
I'm being sarcastic.
No, okay.
I'm being sarcastic. I worked down there for many years, Donna, many, many years in the Gulf of Mexico as a commercial fisherman on shrimp boats. I've been in and out of Shreveport, Louisiana many times, and as a truck driver over the road in my recent years, I've been through Louisiana many times, and I love Louisiana. It's one of my favorite states. I was just thinking along with you about how this all came about, and it makes sense. Some people are greedy. It's possible, and we don't want to slander anyone, but it does make sense that some greedy grabbers came in possibly and tried to capitalize on a bad situation.
Well, that's true, you know, and I guess really unless I probably have a little more animosity towards it because a lot of it was vetted this way, you know, a lot of people felt entitled. A lot of people made the decision that these birds should not go back to their owners because they were left behind. But not knowing that no one expected that levee to break. If that levee had not broken, Katrina would have been just like any other hurricane. You know, not.
How long was it after the hurricane hit that the levee broke?
Well, I was trying to look that up earlier, and I don't recall. Probably about a week or so. I just really don't know, but that's when everything really started, and people weren't allowed to get back into the city.
So it wasn't as much the hurricane that caused the problem, but the flood.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and of course, then we had Hurricane Rita right on its heels. You know, there were the two hurricanes right after each other. So that sort of prolonged anything that was good that was going to happen for people to get back in.
Set it back.
Yep, that's right. It set it back.
Amen. I've been in many hurricanes as a commercial fisherman in my many or much younger years. I'm over 50 years old now, and in my early 20s, I worked in the Gulf of Mexico. I rode out many hurricanes out there in the Gulf of Mexico on commercial fishing boats, but they're large boats that can take the water and the waves and the pounding 100-foot boat, 20-foot wide steel fiberglass boats, and the hurricanes out when you're anchored up, what we would do is just throw the hook, as we call it, in about 100 feet of water and ride out the hurricane, which in more shallow water the waves are not as high and the boat can easily take it. So we would just kind of go into shallow water, throw the hook and drag the hook for a few hours until the hurricane passed over. I've been in at least a half a dozen hurricanes out there in my younger years, 100-mile-an-hour blows, 120-mile-an-hour blows. But when they hit land, they're throwing stuff all over the place, you know, throwing trees and telephone poles and cars. And that's where it really gets dangerous. And then, of course, for Louisiana, the flooding. But I guess what you're dealing with that seemed to be the worst part of it was flooding after the storm.
Mm-hmm. That's really, what caused a lot of these problems and the evacuations, et cetera. I know people left in a hurry. We had addresses, and we would make trips back into the city to try to, find these owners to see if they had come back, if they were back on weekends, et cetera, to reunite them with their birds. And I remember going to one place in St. Bernard Parish. It was a two-story apartment building. And we did have a bird that sort of came in with, they said that the bird was taken from this particular address. We went there and that address, we really couldn't find it. But the apartment I went into, you could tell that the table was set for dinner. There was food, serving bowls of food there. Food on a plate. And you could tell by the stove, that they were just about ready to eat and they all left in a hurry. And this was just set up. People just had to leave. And this was three, 4 months later that I saw this.
Wow, there was food on the table 3 or 4 months later.
Food on the plate, yeah. The same as if you were having dinner and you had food bowl, things on the table to eat from, food on the stove, and you had food in your plate.
Wow.
And something happened, you just went outside and you just never came back.
Right.
It was the eerie feeling. You could go out and look around, and this is, probably a couple of months after. Everything was barren. There was no sound. You would look over the landscape. There were no birds.
Houses looked like they were literally, whenever the water went through, gutted the houses. Took out walls and everything, mold everywhere. Whenever we'd go into these areas, they'd stop us. I remember one that I went on. And before the National Guard would let us go in, they had a doctor come and give us a tetanus. We had to get inoculated. They gave us inoculated. They gave us shots before we could go in there.
Right, some basic vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. I swear I'm reaching for the Kleenex here. It's so. So distressing and sad that people were just flooded out of their homes, and for you folks to venture in there and see and understand the distress that they must have felt before they had to leave their homes, leave their birds that drowned.
Well, and you don't know this, I'm a registered nurse. And I knew after the hurricane, there would be a call from medical people. And it decided, you know, I thought about it, and I said, there's going to be a lot of medical people that are helping people. And I decided what I would do would be for the birds. The birds didn't really don't have a big voice when it comes to disaster, etc. They had thousands and thousands and thousands of people, volunteers, flock to Louisiana to help the dogs and cats and the horses. And we had 65 come to help the birds.
Wow.
So, you know, that sort of just shows, you know, what the response is to disaster and for the various species. Now I have
it is kind of, like that, and it kind of it seems that the smaller animals get the less concern.
Hamster.
You'll sit the hamster.
Okay, I want to share that story right quick. You was with your comment about that. We went into a house.
Bring it on, Neil.
Where we had rescued there was some birds that were there, but they also had this little hamster, and it was a mouse?
Yeah.
Okay, it was a mouse. And I was actually kind of shocked. I was like, oh, there's a mouse. And it was in like a fish tank. And that was all it really had. You know, it had like a little bit of toys in there, but it was a mouse in a fish tank. Well, whenever we had Larry and Nell Knapp come in, we went to PetSmart and we bought this little mouse because we were getting supplies for the birds, and I thought, you know, I want to see, can we go get this mouse a nice cage? So that's what we did. When we went to PetSmart, went and picked out a nice cage for this mouse. So it left in, you know,
a
condo, and it came in a condo and left in almost a mansion. It was a very nice cage.
Yeah. Well, that's what we like to say about all of these cages. We don't even like to mention that word, CAGE, condo, apartment, habitat, domicile. We like to call it anything but a cage.
Well, we had to put that in Neil's bedroom because we didn't want the mouse running around the house. You know, they also brought back snakes and dogs. We did have snakes and dogs and cats and rabbits and a rooster.
Oh, yeah, the rooster.
Gotta have a rooster.
Yeah, we just, you know, the bird people were just not set on birds. They brought back other things. The only thing we really didn't keep here were the snakes. We sent the snakes out. We didn't.
You have been listening to Bird Talk live online with your host, Mike Kiger, a presentation of KC Bird Whisperer International. Please visit www.birdtalkradio.com, where much of these shows are archived for your replay pleasure. Visit facebook.com/KC Bird Whisperer for show airtimes and more. That's facebook.com, KC like Kansas City, Bird Whisperer. KC Bird Whisperer International are dedicated to the enjoyment of pet birds. We hope to contribute to your enjoyment of your feathered loved ones. Please join us again on the Live 365 Radio Network for more Bird Talk live online.